All right, Parshas Bo. We're going to learn tonight Iluy Nishmaser of Moshe Avraham ben Asher Zelig, Surli's dad, whose yard site it is, his Nisham Shev and Aliyah. Okay, a few days ago, I was listening to, actually a few weeks ago, I was listening to a shiur on YU Torah, not a very long one, a 20-minute shiur that Rabbi Penner gave to the YU Smicha guys right before the Chag HaSmicha. And I kind of was like, wow, that's even though it's early Bereishis, not Bo, I was like, I actually think it connects really nicely to our Parsha. And then the other night, I couldn't sleep, and I read Rabbi Sachs's weekly Parsha that is WhatsApped out. And between the two of them, I really felt like it was a really nice Chabura. I was a little bit torn because Rav Bagno, who's the Rav of our shul, gave an amazing drasha this past Shabbos that I think could easily have been the Chabura for this week. And then on top of that, I saw two really great Devrei Torah on Choshech by Rabbi Lam and someone else. And so like there was like too much to choose from. So I decided that I was going to go with Rabbi Penner and Rabbi Sachs. And then I would save Rav Bagno for next week, which I think still works. And I had to like turn the Choshech Devrei Torah into daily Devrei Torah rather than a full-out Chabura. So I hope that you guys enjoy, and I hope I picked the best of the choices for Parshat Bo. So Rabbi Sachs points out a very interesting thing, which is why it's rare that we have pictures on the Makoros, but this week we do. He points out that one of the differences, there are probably many, many, many more differences between the U.S. and the U.K., is that the U.S. is full of words and the U.K. just names. And he points out that if you want a great... Yeah, sorry, David.
Shmuel said he's having trouble getting in. Do you see somebody in the waiting room? Or
I do not.
Okay, so he'll keep trying.
But thank you for pointing that out. I will be on the lookout. So he points out that if you look at the statues, if you look at the monuments, so it's a pretty amazing thing. He said if you drive through Washington, D.C., you'll get, it's actually very hard to find good pictures on Google Images of the various monuments in Washington, D.C. to make this point. But he says if you look at the Lincoln Memorial, it's not just the big statue of Lincoln, but you see some of Lincoln's most famous speeches carved into the wall there. I don't know. When I went to the Lincoln Memorial in eighth grade with YCQ, I definitely don't remember that. And then he says, if you continue by the Martin Luther King one, there's, you know, from his famous speech, I Had a Dream. And Roosevelt, which is the one that's from up there. Roosevelt has a statue of FDR. I think it might have the dog also, as well as his wife. And there's six stones, and each one represents a different decade of his service to the country. And each one has a famous quote from Roosevelt. Of course, the most famous one being, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. That's what happens when you go to D.C. And then you go to England, and you see their statues. So it's a great one right there. Winston Churchill. Great leader, right? Steered them through World War II. You know what it says? Just one word. Churchill. It's all you got. Now, and he is even more sparing than most because most of the other people at least get two words, their first and last name. But with Churchill, it's as though if you don't know who Churchill is just by the one word, you probably should not be, you know, reading the statue and you're not part of it. So the question that I have is, if we were to build monuments, which we don't really have, Jewish ones, for the times of Bnei Yisrael, which model would we be most likely to use? Would the Jewish people be more the U.S. model, words and words and words, or would we be more the British model of just Moses, Aaron, etc., etc.? So that's a question to think about. Because I think that it very much connects to our parsha, and perhaps even more than that. So I won't go into a conversation on that particular point, but it's something to think about as we're learning. Okay, the first source. Shivat yamim tochal matzot v'yom ha'shvi'i chag l'Hashem. 7 days you'll eat matzot. On the seventh day, it's a holiday to God. Matzot yachel, eat matzah, eat shivat yamim for 7 days. V'lo yirelecha chametz, v'lo yirelecha sor v'chol gvulecha. You can't see chametz, you can't see chametz leavening agents, none of that. Famous pasuk, pasuk chet. You're going to tell your child on that day, saying, because of this, God has done this for me when he took us out of Egypt. Of course, we know, very likely, what are we talking about, right? You point and say, Matzah, Maror, right? Or Pesach, Matzah, Maror, because of these things, God took me out of Egypt. It will be a sign on your hand, a remembrance between your eyes, in order that you should know that the Torah Hashem is beficha, in your mouth, kiviyad chazaka, hotziyacha Hashem Mitzrayim, because with a strong hand, God took us out of Egypt. For those doing daf yomi, this pasuk should ring a bell. It was, I believe, yesterday's daf, right? The idea of bein einecha and al yadcha is not literally what it is. But somehow we go from matzah to v'higadta levincha, this unbelievably important mitzvah. Shmuel is now in the waiting room. Thank you, David. I would totally not have been looking there. The fact that we go from matzah to v'higadta levincha, talking to your children, and then ending with tefillin, and then really beyond that, v'shamarta chuka hazot lemoada miyamim yamima. And you should remember this statute carefully, lemoada miyamim yamima, miyamim yamima, from time to time. Now, here's a great one. I actually, this week, it's very rare that I feel so organized. I was going to say accomplished, but I think organized is probably the better word. I had the chabura ready a full, 12 hours or so before the chabura started. And on top of that, by the time the chabura started, I had already finished all of the parsha. That does not happen that way often. All too often, the chabura is still a work of art. Now not so much minutes before, but right before I go to bed. And the parsha could be finished on Shabbos morning sometimes. But I did not have a chance to I didn't have a chance to see this pasuk, the last one, when I was doing the chabura. But afterwards, I saw the words lemoada miyamim yamima, and I remembered miyamim yamima is a Tanakh word. We did a chabura. That's how long ago it was. We did repeat it as a navi shir also, but we did a whole chabura on the idea of miyamim yamima. I gave a drasha on Rosh Hashanah several times in several locations on Miyamim Yamima. And I was like, I wonder where Miyamim Yamima is, how many times in Tanakh. And that is where the Balaturim is an amazing meforash, because that's what he does. He tells you, Dalet b'mesoret, Hey b'mesoret. He tells you how many times in Tanakh you have it. 5 times you have it in Tanakh, of which only one of them is in Chumash. I always find it interesting when there's only one in Torah and the rest are in Navi. And then he goes to the others, and one of them is by Eli. Eli, it says, when he went up to the Mishkan in Shiloh, I think. So he goes up there, Miyamim Yamima, right? He goes up yearly. And we said the problem with Miyamim Yamima is that Miyamim Yamima is, according to Rav Yigal Ariel, one of the oldest memories I have of Rav Yigal, is that Miyamim Yamima means that you're doing it by rote, right? I daven, because that's daily, but here it's yearly. I do the mitzvah, it's a ritual that I do Miyamim Yamima year in, year out. There was no chiddush Sorry, I said Eli. I didn't mean Eli. I meant Chana's husband.
No,
Elkanah, thank you. Elkanah goes and he davens me. He does his thing, Miyamim Yamima, every single year. No difference. It's Chana that goes to the base, the Mishkan, and what does she do? She davens in a way that's different. Eli can't understand what she's doing because it's not Miyamim Yamima. So I don't know exactly what the Torah is trying to tell us here. That would be a very difficult one to understand, that the Torah was learned Miyamim Yamima. That this mitzvah, the Torah, should be done miyamim yamima, that you should eat the matzah miyamim yamima, I don't know. But anyway, whatever it is, there's a lot of stuff going on in these psukim. I want to focus on just pasuk chet. Okay, so the question is, let's go back for a moment to our start. Monuments in the U.S. versus the U.K. This is a monument. Right, the Seder is a living monument that we have year in, year out. So what is it? It seems as though it's a story. We tell the story every single year. It's not just that there's an image, there's a name, but there's so much depth to it. So we're still in Mitzrayim and we're being told to share a story that hasn't fully finished. So the first question is why? Why are we told this story at this point? And then the second question is, what really is our story? What is it that God wants us to tell our family, our children? What are you telling your kids that night? It's more than just bavur zasa Hashem li b'seitim tzayim. It's not just that you point to the matzah maror and the Pesach matzah maror and we're yotzei. Even though, right, it should be noted that Rabbi Gamliel says, if you don't say those three things, right, lo yatzei yidecho vato, you're not yotzei. And so we know that at the very least, you have to say that. So in some homes where people are not at the Seder for the whole time, women, children, even some men perhaps, we make sure that they're there for that one paragraph. Because then, okay, you're yotzei. You don't have to be there for all of Magid. But what is it that we're supposed to tell? What's the story? And then the question is, where does our story start? Those are the three questions that these psukim left me with. So where does the story of the Seder start?
Starts by Avram.
Okay, close. I mean, you can
Nachar.
Right, it starts by Terach. Maybe it's right. It starts by Terach and tells us that what Terach, right? Terach was an Oved Avodah Zarah, and look how far we came. The Haggadah starts from there and goes all the way past Yitzias Mitzrayim. In fact, many people will tell you that the Seder doesn't end at Yitzias Mitzrayim. Not only because we have parts of it where the Tanayim were sitting at their Siddarim and all that, but we're supposed to incorporate all of our own trials and tribulations into the Seder itself. The Seder is not just that in Egypt, years and years ago, our forefathers were enslaved, we came out, but we go through the entire continuum of Jewish history that night. Okay, so that at least answers the last question. Where does it start? It starts from the beginning. What's the beginning? The beginning is, even though we start from Terach, this really is right. But we don't. Terach is there merely as a marker, but really it starts from Avram. Okay, so but what is the story that we're supposed to know? And that's where I think we turn to our parsha again. The first source is Rabbi Sachs. His discussion that he brings is from the end of the parsha, and so Rabbi Penner quoted from the beginning of the parsha. What was Rabbi Penner's drasha? Rabbi Penner apparently, I wanted to look for the other drasha, but Rabbi Penner does not speak often on YU Torah, so it's not hard to find him. But he quoted a drasha from Rabbi Leibowitz, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz speaks prolifically on YU Torah. So looking through on my 10-minute drive a day is not so simple. But he asked Rabbi Leibowitz to talk to the guys 2 weeks before their Chag HaSmicha about why they should all go into Chinuch and Avodas HaKodesh. Rabbi Penner spoke a week before and said, I'm not telling you to go into Avodas HaKodesh and I'm not telling you to go into Chinuch, but I want you to hear this message before you leave Yeshiva. And so That's kind of where this comes from. That's the context on it. So Vayom Ravde Paro Ilav and Matai Ezelan Al Mokesh. It's the beginning of the parasha. Paro is stubborn. Stubborn as stubborn can be. He won't let the Jews go. And so finally, the Avdei Paro turned to him and say, Ad Matai, until when are you going to let him be a stumbling block for you? Shalach et Hanashim Yavdu et Hashem Elokeihem, Haterem Teidaki Avda Mitzrayim. Just let the Jews go. And this is a great moment in the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because this is when, if you're reading the book for the very first time, and you don't know how the story is going to end, you know that the Jews are going to go out. Once the people, once the masses are rallying, okay, it's Paro's elite and advisors, but if they're already at the point where they're cracking and saying, let the Jews go, it's clear that it's only a matter of time before that if Paro does not agree, there's going to be a revolution by the masses and the Jews will go. And Paro's head will end up on a stick. So Vayushav Moshe et Aaron al Paro, Vayomer leihem lechu yivdu et Hashem Elokeichem miva mihaholchem. They bring Moshe and Aaron back to Paro, and Paro says to Moshe and Aaron, lechu yivdu et Hashem. Go. You can go worship God. Lechu, I believe here would be in the future. Right? Meaning you can go. Mi v'mi haholchim. Who is going? So that, the Kliyakar points out, just as an aside, is very difficult, because it shouldn't say mi v'mi haholchim, right? It should be mi v'mi, who will go, not who is going. Vayomer Moshe. Moshe says, b'nareinu uvizkeinenu neilech, b'vanenu uvidoteinu, b'tzoneinu uvkareinu neilech, kichag Hashem lanu. All right, not exactly the Avram Fried song, but pretty close. So what does Moshe say? Moshe says, well, we're all going. The young, the old, neleich, we will go. Our sons and our daughters, our sheep and our flock, we will go. Ki chag Hashem lanu, because it's a holiday for God to us. Vayomer aleihem, yichein Hashem imachem, kasher shalach etchem etabchem, ru'u ki ra'a adege p'neichem. So Paro says, yeah, God should be with you as I will send you, but and your children. Re'u ki ra'ad neged p'neichem. But I see bad in your path. Lo chein. Therefore, I'm not allowing this. The chunah gavarim yivdu et Hashem ki otah atem mevakshim v'yigareshu otam p'nei paro. He says only the men will go and they will worship God, because that's what you're asking for, and so He chases them away from the face of Paro. Okay, what's their argument? What is Moshe asking? What is Paro saying? What's the haholchim versus neilech? Why? What does ki chag Hashem lanu add? So that's another question. Okay, those are our four questions. Yeah, any other questions?
What's the difficulty with haholchim?
So he's saying who will go, meaning he's saying in the present tense, who is going? And Moshe answers, we will go. Why is it that Paro is asking in the present and Moshe is asking in the future?
Okay.
The truth is, I would never have noticed it. Rabbi Rasner has a beautiful Dvar Torah in the name of the Kliyakar. I saw this week. So once I saw that, I was like, wow, you know, all these years, never really noticed it. The Kliyakar has a nice idea. We don't have time to go into it. If you want to listen to it, it's posted with all the other Divrei Torah. It's, I don't know, Monday-ish. But okay, so those are our questions. What is the story that we're supposed to tell our family? Why is it starting in Egypt and that's where the story is first told? What's the argument between Moshe and Aaron, and why Hove and why future? Those are our questions. So we'll start with the Ramban. The Ramban says, Miva miha holchem. Haya paro rotze sheilchu rasheim zikneim shot reyem anashim asher nikvu b'shemot. So what was it that Paro wanted? Paro wanted the leaders, the Zkenim, the Shotrim, the officers, they should go. The people that were famous, the people that were that had real name recognition. Moshe Anahu ki gama bano bani ba bano yelchu ki chag Hashem lanu umitzval kulanu lachog lefanav. So what happens? So Moshe says, you're only asking, allowing me to let the leaders go, but I'm telling you, it's more than just the leaders. All the men will go, and even the children will go, because it's a mitzvah for all of us. Ki chag Hashem lanu. As chara leparo al avanim v'alavanov, amar shelo yishalach atap v'shum panim, ki heim lo yizbechu. So Paro says, what are you talking about? Why are you sending kids? What a waste of time. Aval yishlach kol hazcharim hagdolim v'avur hachag shamar v'sharu atap v'nashim. His answer, right, yi chayin Hashem yilachem kasher shalach etchem v'tapchem. What are you saying? What's the purpose of children? Ru ki ra'a neged p'necham. I see that you're up to no good. You have evil intentions. His argument is, I'm willing to only give you this many men. You want all of them. I'm willing to give you all the men, but I'm not giving you the kids. Kids don't belong there. So the truth is, I think what the Ramban is saying reveals the truth of what the difference between Judaism is and all other cultures. Judaism believes that the children are a vital part and must be there, whereas Egyptian culture felt very differently. The feeling there was, no, children don't belong there. In fact, only the aristocracy belongs there. Even the regular men don't belong there. And that, I think, you know, culturally, certainly for a very, very long time hangs around the idea of the elite having a place at the table and everybody else not. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, that is not how it's supposed to be. And perhaps, although this is not the final answer that I'd like to share, perhaps that's the story that Rabbi Sachs would say, but v'gadta levincha b'yom ahu le'mor. That's what we tell our kids. We tell our kids that it doesn't matter. You don't have to be the greatest person to have a place in Judaism. Every single person has an opportunity to be something. Okay, so that's the Ramban. Let's take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim offers a slightly different answer. Miva miha olchem. Paro v'chol I don't know. Ovdei avoda zara hakadmonim. I think that's what the abbreviation is. Paro and all the idolaters of the old day. Hayu choshim sheish poel tov v'poel ra. They felt that that God has two forms. The form of good, the form of bad. Also, you know, anybody that's doing daf yomi, that also was yesterday's daf. The idea of why is it bad if you say certain things about God? Because if you say certain things about God, the indication is that you feel that there's a good God and a bad God. But we don't believe in that. We believe that there is one God. And that one God has multi facets to him, of which sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. So vayu ovdim lepola tovot shiasei mahem tovot lepola ra'ot lekfar panav lechaper panav shelo yasei mahem ra'ot. And how did they deal with God? When God did good to them, they did good back to God. We'll see how in a moment. And when God did bad to them, so what would they do? They would ask for kapara from God so that you wouldn't have more bad. Vayta avodatam mishuna lepol tov lo zivchu zivachim ki hu eino chafetz bedamim uveherag tzon vakar. When everything was good, you did not give korbanos because God did not want any of your money, certainly didn't want you killing animals. Rak ba'ul levanav yinusheyim uvneyim etapam l'smoach levanav betupim l'cholo kasher rotze betuv uvesimcha. What would happen is if God was good to you and good things happened, you would then go and bring your family, your wife, your children, and you would bring instruments and you would dance and you would sing in thanks to God for all the good that he did. Ulefol ara avdu b'zvachim u'karbanot l'ratzot ka'aso b'damim. But what would happen if God did bad to you? You would bring korbanos as a what? A scapegoat. In order l'ratzot ka'aso. You would try to buy God off appease him with money. V'lo ba'u l'fanav ataf yelodim pen yifga bam b'ra'ato, and God forbid you would never bring your children, your babies with you, lest God strike out at them. O yirtzeh she'ish chatum al mizbecho, or God will ask for them on the mizbeach instead of the animals. Ki rotze bezivchei adam. And that's why Paro says, Miva mi olchem. I want to know who is going. What is your... He's not asking who's going, but he's asking, what is the nature of what you're asking for? What is it that you want to do? And then Moshe says, if he had stopped there, would Paro have said yes according to the Malbim? Yeah, why?
Because it would make more sense to him.
Yeah, because he would have said, what happened? The Jewish people have had a good year, almost, and you want to give thanks to God on all the good. What do you need to thank God?
They only asked for forgiveness. They never asked for a celebration with.
Right, you would all, if you're going because you want to say thank you to God, then you need your whole family, no animals. Or if you wanted to say, if you were afraid that God was going to strike out at you, in addition to the Egyptians, then you should end up, then all you would say is, "Bitzoneinu uviv kareinu neleich." We're just bringing the animals. But the Malbim points out that it is completely inconsistent to ask for both. It just doesn't work. And so what happens? He says, "Kim tiav odatam lepol tov yelchu gama tafan hashem. Avalo yikhu imahem a mikne vatzon. Vim yavdu lepol ra yelchu a mikne vatzon v'lo an hashem vataf." Make up your mind, Moshe. Which one do you want? Either bring the children or bring the animals, but not both. That's what he says. And perhaps that actually, the Malbim might make Pasuk Yud read a lot better, because then he would say, "Yichein hashem imahem." You're right. God should be with you. I'm going to send you and your children. Ru'u kira'a neged p'neichem. But it can't be because kira'a neged p'neichem. If it's bad, then what? Then don't bring the children. And if it's good, then don't bring the animals. So that's where we're at. So the Malbim says that what their argument is who is allowed to go based on the ideas of their time. But I want to share with you a third possibility of what the argument is between Moshe and between Paro, and perhaps what the message of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is. There is a word that kind of sticks out in Pasuk Tet. Neilech. Right? Neilech. Right? Now, last week, I don't remember what the Pasuk was, but we also had the word neilech or something similar to that. Maybe that was by Sinai. God says that you'll know who I am when you get here, and uses that word. What exactly is neilech contributing to this pasuk, and why is it mentioned more than once? So let's take a look at an unlikely source. It's Parchav Dalid, pasuk Nun Dalid. It's the end of the story of Eliezer and Rivka. Eliezer has gotten their agreement to let Rivka go, and he goes to sleep. He is as happy as can be. His mission was far more successful than he had imagined, and it was effortless on his part. And quickly, he has the girl for Yitzchak. They eat, they drink, and they go to sleep. They get up in the morning, and he says, "Let me go." Shalchuni laduni. Her brother and her mother say, "Let the girl stay here, yamimo asor, a year or 10 months, and then you'll go." I did not realize the parallel, other than the Eilech, which is the very last word of this group of psukim, when I saw these psukim. But actually, it sounds a lot. Shalchuni ladoni. It sounds like, let me go. I want to go home. How many times does Moshe Rabbeinu say, right? I mean, look at Pasuk Zayin above, Shalachat Anashim. It's not Moshe, it's the Mitzrim, but, right, send me. And then what happens? The idea of Teishev and Araitanu, the kid stays. Wow, that sounds a little bit like our Pesukim also. So he says, don't delay me. God has made me successful. Let me go, and I will go to my master. So what happens?
I mean, to break the parallel, I mean, I know that when Moshe, all the conversations, at least leading up to the end, when he's talking about going out, I would have thought the implication was always, and then we'll come back and continue on here.
Yeah,
I mean, not internally. Whatever he said, Hashem, he knows what what Hashem's plan is. But that's the conversation. This is the opposite,
right? Except we do know that was a little bit of a scam, right? Moshe never really planned on coming back.
I understand that, but in terms of the conversation,
right? I hear that. Okay, it's a fair point, and point certainly well taken. I still think that you're going to have to deal with the fact that the wording is similar enough, but if you want to reject it, you can, and then you could stick with the Ramban and the Malbim. But I think perhaps I could connect it a little bit, even though I think Shmuel's question is a fair one. Pasuk and Zion, Vayomru Nikra L'Na'arav Nishal Piyah. So they don't know what to do. They've gone back and forth. He wants to leave. They want her to stay. And they go with a plan that they think is faultless. There's no way they're going to lose. Let's call the girl. I don't know. She's a young girl. How old is young? I don't know. 3, 14, somewhere like that. She's not an old kid, right? Let's assume she's not 3, but she's a bas mitzvah age girl. So they say, let's ask her what she says. So they call her and they say, do you want to go with this guy? Assuming who in the world would agree to go with this strange man. And what does she say? She says, Eileich, I will go. Rashi points.
You mean the man that draped her with jewelry?
Say again?
You mean the man that draped her with jewelry?
Yeah, but so what? She got the jewelry, right? Like, I don't know. She doesn't have to go anymore. She's going to a faraway land with a strange guy she's never met. It's strange. Rashi makes it much stronger. He says, I will go on my own. Even if you don't want to send me, I'm going. I'm going to leave. What in the world is going on here? It's a very strange story. So what was it that, why was Eliezer sold on Rivka? What makes her the right girl?
All the signs.
Okay, so what was the sign?
Giving him water and his camels.
Right. Yeah, despite the fact that he was only asking for a cup of water, she would offer water to the entire flock. Why was that his sign? I mean, it's crazy, actually. But why was that his sign?
It goes above and beyond.
It goes above and beyond. It says that the girl is the balas chesed. Eliezer, in his mind, said, I am looking for a person that is a balas chesed. It's beautiful. Only one problem. Whose idea was that? His or Avraham's? It was his. Let's take a look at what Avraham says. Perek Yud Bet. I'm sorry. It's actually not here. But if you actually read back at the Psukim, basically, Avram wants a girl that is willing to go. It's actually funny. I actually had it in. I had it on the sources. I must have accidentally pasted over it. He says, Eliezer says, "Ulai lo tova isha lelechet acharai." What if the girl does not want to go with me? What should happen? Ulai lo tova isha lelechet. His concern is maybe she won't be willing to go. And Avram says, that would be bad. The one sign I need is a girl that is willing to go. Why does he look for a girl that will say Eileich? So take a look at the last source. God says to Avraham, I want you to go. What is it that she's looking? What is it that Avraham is looking for in a girl? He's looking for a girl that is similar to himself. A girl that is willing to pick up and leave because she sees an opportunity to grow. She sees an opportunity to be better. Avraham says, I don't care if she's a balas chesed. Of course, she's going to have to be a good, kind person, or she won't be the wife for Yitzchak. But first and foremost, she has to be willing to seize an opportunity to be better. She has to be willing to give up where she is to go to a place that will perhaps give her an opportunity for growth. That, says Rabbi Penner, is what Eliezer, is what Avram needs. Rivka was a girl who was living in Haran, and she sees that this is where she is. Her ceiling has been reached, and she says, Eileich, I'm willing to go. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going to end up. But I know that I can be more in life than Rivka, the girl who's getting water from the well. I know I can. I know there's more out there. And so she seizes the opportunity because she hears who Avraham is. And she hears about the family. And she recognizes that this is a place of godliness. And this is the place that she wants to be in order so that she can make a difference in the world. That is what Rivka is looking for. Neileich, neileich. Why is it that that's what we're told, but what Moshe Rabbeinu is told? Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Paro, neileich, we need to go. This is not just for us, but it's for future generations also. The story of the Jewish people is the story of Avram Avinu. That's how far back it goes. It goes back to Lech Lecha. It goes to Rivka of Eileich. And it continues with the idea of neileich. Is that we're not going to be people that are static, that accept where we are, but rather as Jewish people, we accept that the world is there as a challenge to us, as a gift to us, as an opportunity to find growth for ourselves. That is the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we can't accept that the world is what it is and will always be just that, but rather we believe that the world can be much more than that. I'll end just by what Rabbi Penner's message was to the guys right before the Chag HaSmicha. He turns to these people and says, not everybody's going to be a rabbi, and not everybody's going to be a mechanech, nor should that be the case. He says there are plenty of people out there that are in the rabbinate that should not be in the rabbinate. And there are many, many, many more people, that's my own take on it, that are in teaching that should not be in teaching. He said that you don't have to go into chinuch. You don't have to go into avodas hakodesh, but every single person has to be a neileich. Every single person has to look and say, can I make the world a better place? And so whether it's by going out to work and being mekadesh shem shamayim, by going to work and doing well and giving money to support Jewish causes, or whether it's by finding some side talent that you have that makes the world a better place and is therefore a way of making the Jewish people an Or Lagayim. That is the mission of the Jewish people. That is what we tell our children on that night. What are we telling our children on that night? Neileich. You gotta go. You gotta figure out what it is that you have to offer. Take that skill, hone that skill, and use that skill to make the world a better place.